Translation in Purport by Sivan Graishila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Madhavi Devi, the 17th of the prominent devotees, was the younger sister of Sikhi Mahiti. She is considered to have formerly been a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. Purport. In the Antya-lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 2, verses 104 to 106, there is a description of Madhavi Devi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered her to be one of the maidservants of Srimati Radharani. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sri Sri Gaunitai Guru Parampraya Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Within this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 3.5 very confidential devotees. The three were Srupa Goswami, Sri Ramananda Roy, and Sikhi Mahiti. And Sikhi Mahiti's sister Madhavi, being a woman, was considered to be the half. Thus it is known that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 3.5 confidential devotees. Gyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabhatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Dvamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagna Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so first of all we beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so we can speak this morning. It's a very auspicious day, being the appearance day of Srila Sachidananda, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And also we'll discuss something in relation to this particular verse in purport. This chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 10 is discussing the branches of the Chaitanya tree, the devotees of the Lord. In this particular verse, is speaking about Madhavi Devi. We know from Ganadesh Deepika that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they also are associates of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. They are wonderful and very intimate associates of the Lord. In a previous purport, this is 134, Prabhupada has written the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika states that Ramananda Roy was formerly Arjun. So that's one consideration. He goes on to say he is also considered to have been an incarnation of the Gopi Lalita, although in the opinion of others, he was an incarnation of Vishakha Devi. So they are very intimate associates, Lalita and Vishakha of Srimati Radharani. Madhavi Devi, according to Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, she is a person named Kala Kaili, who is an assistant of Srimati Radharani. Sikhi Mahiti, he is Raga Lekha, who is also an assistant, an associate of Srimati Radharani. So we understand that when the Lord comes, His associates also come with Him. And it is interesting, His associates come before him. His associates come with him. His associates come after him. So today being the appearance day of Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura, we can consider that he also comes as a very intimate associate of the Lord. Everything is arranged by the Lord to execute his mission. The mission is so powerful that the mission is always to be ultimately successful. And along the way, when the Lord is coming with his intimate associates, various living entities who are fortunate enough to take the message, the call of these associates, they are also able to become involved in this very, very powerful mission. This mission of Krishna consciousness is a mission to change the entire destiny of human civilization. And it is so powerful because the legacy that is left by these great acharyas continues to live on within the hearts and minds of all the fortunate followers of such devotees. So, we're very, very fortunate that we've been able to come into contact with this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and this most intimate offering, this most intimate offering of devotional service. We say the most intimate because as we understand the lives of our acharyas, we see that these personalities come from the most intimate place within the spiritual world. We know that there is Vaikuntha, we know that there is Dwaraka, we know that there is Mathura, but the most intimate place in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. To have someone come from that particular realm and to give an invitation to the most fallen members of Kali Yuga, that they have a chance to return to that particular place. This is extremely rare. And it is so important to understand how rare it is. Because in understanding how rare something is, one develops a mentality that aids one in valuing that rare gem. So, anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness, anyone who comes under the shelter of Śrīla Prabhupāda, through the shelter of our founder Acharya, also gets to learn of these other most intimate associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to become purified by their association through hearing about their particular pastimes, their teachings, and also in the form of being able to share their gift. And I do stress, the gifts of Krishna consciousness are the gifts of the acharyas. So one is able to distribute something which is actually priceless. So we wanted to, this morning, understand a little bit about Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura, maybe read a few things that he has written as well, and try to appreciate him more, to become more prayerful in understanding just how great this treasure that we've been given is. Try to access this blessing more and to be more enthusiastic in offering and sharing this Krishna consciousness to others. So we'll begin with just a few points about his life. I'll just read a few things and maybe expand a little. On September the 2nd, 1838, on a Sunday in the ancient village of Ulugram, located in the district of Nadia, Bhaktivinoda Thakura took birth. So he was actually born at the time, and it's very interesting, that in his paternal family line, so although some persons were devotees of the Lord, there was not any great respect for Vaishnava Dharma in his mother's family. nor was so there was no respect for Vaishnava. Actually, sorry, let me go back. So, on his mother's side, in his mother's family, there was not any great respect for Vaishnavism at all. Right? In fact, at one point, he would be called Daitya Kulera Prahlad, which means Prahlad of the family of demons. Prahlad of the family of demons. This is actually a term that was used to indicate or used in regards to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is also mentioned that when he was 11 years old, his father passed away. He was actually born in a very wealthy situation. He lived in a mansion, but after his father passing away, his situation changed, and actually, you know, he was living in a state of, you know, somewhat very poor material situation. First point to bear in mind here is that we see in the lives of the great acharyas something very extraordinary. They asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that why is it sometimes devotees are born in difficult situations or situations which don't seem so externally nice or supportive. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained that if devotees always had just very nice situations, and if they were always born in very good situations, then others would think that no, that they cannot also become devotees. They would think, well, you know, these great acharyas, everything is very nice for them. I am not born in that kind of situation, therefore I cannot become Krishna conscious. So sometimes devotees, pure devotees, will be born in very humble situations or go through great difficulties, because by their example they will demonstrate perfectly how to deal with different reversals and different changes or different obstacles in life. And then that will give inspiration to the conditioned living entities who are also inspired to become Krishna conscious. So at the age of 11, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's father passes away, and he moves into or starts to live in a situation of somewhat poverty. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the things that he's known for was his very wonderful, innovative writing. So, I wanted to read something from the Krishna Samhita, and we'll just kind of expand on this, because it also, it's just very beautiful the way that the acharyas, particularly Bhaktivinoda Thakur, are so concerned with compassion to extend the teachings of the Lord, to extend the mercy of the Lord, even to the most fallen individuals, so that they can somehow realize the importance of the human mission. And in some way, shape or form, take advantage of that human mission. And this is something that we are all meant to be doing on a day-to-day basis. We are meant to be taking increasing advantage of what Krishna consciousness is. So this is from the introduction to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Samhita. He writes, "The people of India and other countries may be divided into two categories, the ass-like and the swan-like. Of these two, the ass-like are in the majority. The swan-like are in the minority. Swan-like people abstract the purport of the scriptures for their own advancement and thus benefit themselves. That is why the real purport of Srimad Bhagavatam has not yet been clearly revealed. I had a great desire to translate Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper swan-like way, but I have no time to translate this huge work. For this reason, I am now extracting the main purport of this great literature and presenting it in the form of this Krishna, of this Sri Krishna Samhita. As I was not satisfied after reading the verses of this book, I translated them into Bengali. I hope learned people will always scrutinizingly discuss this book in order to ascertain the spiritual subject matters. Everyone has the right to discuss spiritual topics. Yet people are divided into three categories according to their qualifications. Those who do not possess independent power of discrimination are in the first category and are called neophytes, or those with soft faith. They have no alternative to faith,
if they do not accept whatever the compilers of the scriptures write as the order of the Lord, then they fall down. They are qualified only for understanding the gross meanings of the science of Krishna. They have no qualifications for understanding the subtle meanings. Until they gradually advance by good association and instruction, they should try to advance under the shelter of faith. Those who have not yet succeeded in connecting faith with argument are second-grade persons or Madhyam Adhikaris. And those who are expert in connecting these two are perfect in all respects. They are able to attain perfection by utilizing material resources in their independent endeavors. They are called topmost persons or Uttama Adhikaris. Of the three, it is necessary to ascertain who is the proper candidate for studying this book. The neophytes are not qualified, but they can gradually become qualified by attaining a higher stage through good fortune. The expert topmost persons have no direct need for this book other than to strengthen their own conclusions. Still, they should discuss this book with due respect in order to benefit the Madhyam Adhikaris. Therefore, it is the Madhyam Adhikaris who are the proper candidates for studying this book. All the above mentioned three categories of people are qualified to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Yet most of the commentaries on this matchless book are composed for the benefit of the neophytes. The commentators were all swan-like persons, and they have exhibited more compassion towards the neophytes than towards the Madhyamas. Whenever they discuss jnana, they are referring to Brahma jnana, or the impersonal understanding of the absolute truth. Therefore, modern speculators are not benefited. Now this is very important. Nowadays, many people of our country discuss foreign literature and science with a desire to scrutinize its significance. They quickly become faithless after observing the indirect presentations by the writers of the scriptures and the commentaries that are appropriate for the neophytes as mentioned above. They then either adopt a different religion or become famous for introducing a new one. The danger with this is that such people uselessly waste their time inventing a new level of understanding while leaving aside the previous Mahajan's perfect path, which automatically uplifts one from a lower qualification to a higher one. If there were some literatures appropriate for the Madhyam Adhikaris to discuss, then no anattas or unwanted things in the form of sub-religion, cheating religion, or irreligion would have entered India. In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the introduction to Krishna Samhita, is aligning his literature with a class of people who were called the Bhadralokas, who were Indians who were very much influenced by Western thinking. And with an increasingly Western mindset, when they looked at the religious literatures of India, they would start to have doubts about it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the people that he reached out to so expertly, were these people. By giving the eternal teachings, but by presenting and packaging these eternal teachings in a way that was suitable for that particular audience. It is very interesting that there is a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, first verse. In the purport, Prabhupada says one should not change the meaning of the Shastra. But at the same time, one should be so expert that they can present the same teachings in a way that is suitable for the particular audience, Prabhupada says. He says, this ability to do so, he says, this is called realization. So it's almost like old wine in new bottles, for want of a better analogy. That you take something which is eternally true, and you find a way, due to your extensive compassion, to present that which is eternally true in a way that it will speak to a present audience and they will be able to take up or to value and appreciate Krishna consciousness. Right? So Krishna consciousness has these two dynamics. Huh? There is the eternal living truth, these eternal principles, and there is also the understanding of time, place, and circumstance. And we see this in the lives of our great and revolutionary acharyas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings, he was also to present and able to start to give this teaching of Krishna consciousness and to bring it to the Western world. Let me just read something in relation to that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began to execute his preaching work by going to all the villages in Calcutta and Kumarahat, chanting the holy names. At this time in 1896, in a pioneering spirit, he sent the teachings of Sri Chaitanya beyond the tiny borders of India and to the West in the form of a small booklet he had written in Sanskrit called Sri Garanga Lila Smarana Mangala Stotram. It had a Sanskrit commentary by a renowned pandit of Nadia, Srila Sitikant Vachaspati. And for English, knowing people, the book continued and contained an introduction in English called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. This booklet found its way into the library of McGill College in Canada, the library of Royal Asiatic Society of London, and a few other highly respectable institutions. The following remarks appeared in the Journal of the Royal Asiatic Society of London. Quote, under the title of Sri Gauranga Lila Smarana Mangala Stotram, the well-known Vaishnava Sri Kedarnath Bhaktivinoda MRAS has published a poem in Sanskrit on the life and teachings of Chaitanya. It is accompanied with a commentary also in Sanskrit, in which the subject further elucidated is preceded by an introduction of 63 pages in English, in which the doctrines taught by Chaitanya are set out in somewhat full detail. This position, and more especially as against Skanda and the Advaita Vedantis, is explained at length. The little volume will aid our knowledge of this remarkable reformer, and we express our thanks to Bhaktivinoda for giving it to us in English and Sanskrit rather than in Bengali, in which language it must necessarily have remained a closed book to European students of the religious life of India. So these people that we are dealing with when we are speaking of the acharyas, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gonitai Guru Parampara, Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. When we are speaking of such acharyas, we are speaking of people who are empowered to spread this teaching. And we should be very clear on this point. It actually does require empowerment. We should consider that everything we are able to do in Krishna consciousness is actually due to the causeless mercy of our acharyas. We should never ever get into the mentality of thinking that we have any qualification. Our qualification in Kali Yuga is that we are the most unqualified. We are the most unqualified. And in recognition of our most unqualified status, one starts to beg. And as one starts to beg, then one is able to be a recipient of the Lord's mercy. And it is also very interesting how, as qualified as they are, one of the themes or one of the trends we will notice in the mentality of all of these great acharyas is their unlimited compassion and their unlimited humility. And therefore, they work very, very strenuously in order to give others Krishna consciousness. They are eternal associates. but they will work strenuously to give others Krishna consciousness. Just consider, they asked Srila Prabhupada about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Prabhupada once made the comment that he is Vaishnava, he is all-powerful. Prabhupada distinctly stated that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being all-powerful, he himself could have spread Krishna consciousness throughout the entire world himself. But he wanted to give some service to others so they could also be benefited. Very interesting. Let's read something of the lifestyle, the timetable of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is something in terms of his schedule, and also his contribution in terms of Vaishnava literature. Between the years 1874 and 1893, Thakur Bhaktivinoda wrote several books in Sanskrit, such as Sri Krishna Samhita, Tattva Sutra, and Tattva Viveka, which was sometimes known as Satchit Anandobhuti. He also wrote many books in Bengali, such as his Kalyana Kalpataru. And besides those, in the year 1874, he composed his famous Sanskrit work, Datta Kaustubam. Much of his time was spent in seclusion, chanting the holy name of Krishna with great faith and love. Always anxious to use every moment in loving service of Krishna, he followed a strict, austere daily schedule. So this was his schedule. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., rest, 2 hours. 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., writing. That is 6 hours writing. 4 to 4:30 a.m., rest. 4:30 to 7 a.m., chanting his japa. 7 to 7:30 a.m., correspondence. 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., study of the Shastra. 9:30 to 10 o'clock, tea took bath. You'll take prasadam, and that prasadam will be half a liter of milk, fruit, and 2 chapatis. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., he would perform his duties in the court. He was a magistrate for a period of time in his life. 1 to 2 p.m., refresh at home, and 2 to 5 p.m., again, court duties. So a total of 2.5 hours sleep. 6 hours a day writing. Who can do this? Who can live in this particular way? He was considered to be so expert, even in his material duties, that actually, one English person was actually, they would later admit that they would actually go to study him, or try to understand his behavior to see how he did what he did. Let me see if I can find that particular pastime, because it may be very interesting to share that with all of you. I was just reading about that last night. So let's see. Okay, maybe we'll have to find that later on, because I'm not sure exactly where it is at this particular point in my notes. But I'll read you one or two other points in terms of the pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his greatest contributions was the discovery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site. So, let's read it as it's explained here. In the year 1887, Thakur Bhaktivinoda thought within himself, quickly taking leave from government service, I will go to see some forest in Vraj on the sandy banks of the Yamuna and perform bhajans with Bhakti Bringa Mahashaya till the end of life. In this way, the Thakur continually reflected within himself this desire. One time on some government service, he went to the town of Tarakeshvara. There in Tarakeshvara, one night, Bhaktivinoda had a dream in which the Supreme Lord in his former Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and spoke. The Lord said to Bhaktivinoda, "You will certainly go to Vrindavan, but first there is some service you must perform in Navadvip. So what will you do about that?" Upon saying this, the Lord disappeared and the Thakur awoke. Bhakti Bringa Mahashaya, upon being told of the dream by Bhaktinod, advised the Thakur to apply for a government transfer to the district headquarters at Krishnanagar, which was right near Navadweep. The Thakur made great endeavors to get a transfer to the land of Lord Chaitanya, and to gain this end, he even declined to accept the offers of the personal assistant to the chief commissioner of Assam and the office of the minister of Tipura state. He even applied to the government for pension with a view to retire from government service, but the application was not accepted. Thus, failing in his efforts to be relieved of his official duties, he at last arranged in December of 1887 a mutual exchange with the deputy magistrate of Krishnanagar, Babu Radha Madhava Vasu, and thus went to Krishnanagar to execute his mission given to him by the Lord. So this is something that we often see, that in the lives of the great acharyas, it is not what they feel like doing. It is actually that they are being directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by revelation, by divine revelation, they are moving in line with the mission of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada once told Tamal Krishna Maharaj that we have our plan and Krishna has his plan. The trick is to try to understand Krishna's plan and to make our plan accordingly. This is very, very instructive for all aspiring devotees. Prabhupada will explain in one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd Canto that if one relies upon the plan or the mercy of the Lord, then one stands to gain far more than one could ever gain by their own planning and by their own arrangement. So we often think that actually the smart thing is to make our own plan. But no, you're dealing with a person who actually intimately loves you and wants that which is very best for you. So there are two things going on. We are to use and engage our intelligence in Krishna's service. We are to do things wisely, but we are also always to depend upon the mercy of the Lord. That means we do it for the Krishna's pleasure. And we try to at every moment try to understand through the instructions of our authorities, through the instructions of the spiritual master, what would Krishna want me to do? And because the motive and the intention is there to do what Krishna wants, then things are ultimately arranged in our lives in ways which are inconceivably better than anything that we could possibly achieve or arrange by our own intelligence and understanding. Intelligence will never be enough. Why? Because we have a blind side. We do not know even the karma that we've come into this world with. We do not know what the future holds for us. So if we simply try to do what we think is best and we do not ask the Lord to ultimately make whatever arrangement is best for us, then we can come to this point where we leave our bodies and we do not go back home, back to Godhead. And it will be because we too much rely on our own arrangement. We do not want to rely on our own arrangement. What is surrender? Surrender means in spiritual life, surrender means that you rely on the loving arrangement of someone who cares for you, understands you better than you can possibly understand or arrange or care for yourself. So real intelligence is spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is surrender. You can never achieve more through your own arrangement than you can by the surrender of the Lord. And this theme is played out through the lives of the great acharyas. So just like here, we are understanding that Lord Chaitanya himself is directing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you have some service here. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is setting the example, the template for every single individual who claims to be a sincere devotee of the Lord or a sincere aspiring devotee of the Lord. We want to try to understand Krishna's will. So sometimes we think that it is equal. So someone is doing whatever they like in Krishna consciousness. Devotee A does whatever they like in Krishna consciousness, but it's still within Krishna consciousness. It's good. Devotee B is constantly thinking every single word, every single thought, every single feeling. What would my spiritual master, what would Srila Prabhupada want me to do? How would they want me to interact in this particular situation? How would they want me to speak in this situation? What are their instructions? How would they like me to deal with this particular challenge in this situation? We can never think that these two devotees are getting an equal result. There is something very wonderful that happens when we put first the desires of the Lord as is understood through the desires of the spiritual master, the desires of Srila Prabhupada. There is a different level of strength that comes when we think first, what would the Lord want me to do? What would Prabhupada like me to do? And then we do that as opposed to doing whatever we feel like doing, even if it is in Krishna consciousness. There is a different level of strength. That mood, that is the mood of a pure devotee. So we can practice pure devotional service. Even if we are not pure devotees, we can practice pure devotional service by trying to think first, what would Krishna want me to do in this situation? How would Krishna like me to chant? How would Krishna like me to deal with the devotees, to interact with the devotees? What would Krishna want me to emphasize in this particular class? How would Krishna like me to serve these people? And you can even break it down further. How would he like me to think? How would he like me to feel? How would he like me to act? And when we practice that, we are transforming the consciousness in very, very deep and intimate ways. We should, as devotees, come to the point that we are also having revelation. Of course, we never take our revelation to be standalone. We are always taking whatever seeming revelation we have, we always check it with Guru Sadhu Shastra. We always get it confirmed by more advanced devotees and by the spiritual master. That way the mind cannot trick the devotee. But we should be having revelation. Because Krishna consciousness is alive and it's dynamic. But it's alive and it's dynamic because you live it. And then because you live it, you see Krishna, you hear Krishna in the sense that directly, indirectly, through the Shastra, through the devotees' association. And you always remember just how kind my Lord is. We should be able to always understand that the love, the care, that the concern that we receive through the devotees, you should understand that this is coming from Krishna. Don't think it's a separate thing. Okay, the devotees are nice, but Krishna doesn't do much for me. No. The devotees, where the devotees are, Krishna is also there. And so we want to understand that our tradition is a mood of missing Krishna. Krishna consciousness is really a loving association. It is a real loving culture. We cannot afford to forget that. When these acharyas are on the planet performing their pastimes, they are experiencing that love. And because they are soaked, absorbed in how truly kind Krishna is, they cannot imagine how other people can live without also experiencing Krishna's kindness. They are experiencing it. How kind Krishna is. How kind Krishna cares for us. How he supports us. How he gives so much kind revelation. And in being touched by that kindness, they think, how can these other living entities, how can they exist without also experiencing this very sweet, this very blissful, loving life? It's a lifestyle. It's not just one or two things. It is an entire lifestyle. a moment by moment experience of Krishna's kindness, Krishna's love. And because they are soaked, they are experiencing this, they want others to also be as fortunate. So when we read Prabhupada's books, when you read or hear about the lives of these great devotees, we should get some sense of how they are so touched. They are so above the pettiness of this material world. And when we hear about their example, when we glorify their example, something of their qualities also enters into our consciousness. Right? The rule follows the reality. The reason why we are advised in our tradition to glorify great devotees, one of the reasons, is because in the Shastra it's explained that there is what is called the Anahata Chakra, right? Which is the heart chakra. So when we are open and empathetic to the example of great devotees, and when we glorify such great devotees, a certain degree of their qualities also enters into our consciousness. So it's a very, very wonderful example when we get to hear about these people. And on such days as this, their merciful presence is more readily available. Their merciful presence is more readily available. So one of the most important things to do on such appearance days, and we encourage all of you to do this, is to make a prayer to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that prayer can be of two types. One is a prayer of gratitude, of just the wonderful things that he has given. This great gratitude of his own example, his expiring example. We want to follow in the line of our acharyas, who are ever existing in the spiritual world, very, very intensely intimate associates of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and who are constantly overseeing this entire movement of Krishna consciousness, who are working together, making arrangements so that we can come back and so that others can also come back to Krishna. Their mission is eternal, it never stops. So we want to pray in appreciation and we also want to beg for their mercy. We also understand at these times that the mercy of the Lord is great. But there is something greater than the Lord's own mercy, and that is the mercy of the Lord's most intimate, and we say most intimate associates. Their mercy is even more great than Krishna's mercy. So of the two, if you're going to pray to anyone, pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because he will be even more kind to extend his compassion to help us. And we can always be in that mood of prayer. We should always be in the mood of prayer. When we look at the lives of great acharyas, something becomes very apparent. It's not just an external exercise. It is not just about moving the mind and body. It's not just about moving the body, but it's also, we're meant to develop a mental culture. Does that make some sense? It is also, Krishna consciousness in the lives of these great devotees is also a mentality and a consciousness of always trying to please Krishna. Constantly thinking, what would please my Lord? So let's read a bit further about this discovery of Sridhar Mayapur. While stationed at Krishnanagar, Thakur Bhaktivinoda would go again and again to the present day city of Navadvip and search in various places for the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time in the dead of night, Bhaktivinoda sat on the roof of the Rani Dharmashala in Navadvip, chanting the holy name on his beads. As he looked out towards the north, he spotted a very tall tal tree with some very strange substance attached to it. Just one point on this. So it is explained that when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant, sometimes he was still on the roof and chant. And observers have stated that when they would observe him chanting, it was like someone calling out to someone who was very far away. Isn't that interesting? That there is so, that even their example, even in their sadhana, was so wonderful. He wouldn't consider that Krishna is close. Krishna is near me. Krishna is with me. I'm a great acharya. No, he was chanting as if calling out to someone very, very far away. Very interesting. Let's read on. So, he spotted a very tall tall tree with some very strange substance attached to it. Near the tree was a small building which gave off a remarkable effulgence. Seeing this vision, the Thakur became extremely eager to find the true place of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Let us just bring out this other point. So as we progress in Krishna consciousness, our vision also changes. There are the spiritual senses of the spiritual body. When someone comes to a very exalted platform, their ability to perceive becomes greater. There was a pastime with Srila Prabhupada. He was in the temple room and he would look out to one place in the temple room and laugh. And later on, devotees were asking Prabhupada, what were you doing? Why were you laughing? He said that in the assembly, Narada Muni had come. And he said that they were laughing and joking how all these Westerners had come to Krishna consciousness. Amazing. Now this is also something that gives us great hope. This is something that we can aspire to, something we can look forward to. As we become purified, our ability to perceive also expands. Our ability to perceive expands. You are able to see more. More becomes revealed to such a Vaishnava, as is being demonstrated in the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Through the purified spiritual senses, we will be able to perceive more. It is said that a pure devotee, not only do they know who they are, not only are they aware of their own spiritual identity, but they are also able to understand the spiritual identity of others. Very, very interesting. So this is something very, very extremely intimate. So many wonderful things will become revealed upon our endeavor and our sincere qualification. So don't ever think Krishna consciousness is dull. There is no such thing as dull Krishna consciousness. There is simply the dull misapplication of the ever blissful and ever dynamic, ever vibrant devotional culture. So let us read on. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, seeing this vision, the Thakur became extremely eager to find the true place of Mahaprabhu's appearance. With this in mind, he went to the Krishnanagar collectory, where he began to study some very old manuscripts of Chaitanya Bhagavat and Narahari Shakara Thakur's Navadweep Dham Parikram, as well as some old maps of the district of Nadia. Going to the nearby village and inquiring from many of the elderly people there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know of many facts about the modern-day town of Navadweep and the old Navadweep on the eastern banks of the Bhagirath River. After this, through much research and endeavor, Thakur Bhaktivinoda was able to understand that the place he had seen that night on the roof of the Dharmashala was the actual site of Sri Chaitanya's birth. Again, another point we can bring out here. How much endeavor was done? Just so that no one will ever think that Krishna consciousness is cheap. You have here a Nitya Siddha, empowered Vaishnava associate of the Lord. But nothing is cheaply given. So when we have challenges and difficulties, never be in the mindset that, oh, Krishna doesn't care about me. No, it's just that Krishna does not want to be taken cheaply. And you know what? Actually, if you think about it very carefully, as Vaishnavas, you do not want to take anything cheaply. It is actually a blessing to have to work for devotional advancement. It is a real blessing, because then the heart explodes with gratitude. Because you understand what it took to get to where you are. You understand how even where you are was due to the mercy of someone else. And therefore, you are much more careful to guard your devotion. Does that make some sense? We don't want to take Krishna consciousness cheaply. The every endeavor, even the sweetness of the reversals, this is also Krishna's mercy. This is also Krishna's mercy because it strengthens the quality of the heart for any Vaishnava who is proper when they go through challenges. Just like this. You do some exercise, you're doing some press-ups, okay? So the first few you do is not so much work. But when you feel very tired and you just keep pushing, you know, press up number one, press up number 99, number 100, 101, you squeeze out that extra endeavor. That does more to increase your capacity than the previous exercise you were doing, which was relatively easy. So Krishna wants to strengthen us. He wants to strengthen us for what will lay ahead. For what will lay ahead. So in Krishna consciousness, it is a very exciting process of building our adhika or building our qualification. We should become excited. Okay, Krishna, you're building my qualification by your mercy for whatever will come next. Just think about this. You read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. You see how Prabhupada comes to the West. Not because he feels like it. Not for any name fame. He's coming simply on the order of his spiritual master. We have seen previously, Prabhupada, he did not want to take sannyas. But it has been revealed to him, no, I want you to take sannyas. His own guru wants him to take sannyas. So he doesn't want to take sannyas. It's not just what he feels like doing. Remember this point. It's not just what you feel like doing. But he does what will be pleasing to his guru. He comes to the West on the order of his spiritual master. And later on, Prabhupada will reminisce. He will look out into the Western world and think, all of these difficulties, why did I come here? Previously, he is in Radha Damodar, very intimate places in Vrindavan, engaging in very deep, very blissful bhajan. And later on he will come to the West and with his disciples he will recollect, why did I come here? It was simply the order of my spiritual master. Very exciting. He comes to America for 1 year. This Nitya Siddha associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one listens to him. If that wasn't bad enough, no one listens to him. His things are stolen. Now you could question at this particular point, what kind of a God is this? How is he treating his pure devotee? But Prabhupada would also explain later on to his own disciples that he realized later when all of these things were going on that Krishna was simply strengthening him for what lay ahead. So ladies and gentlemen, we will understand that we've been able to try to receive something of the mercy of Guru Sadhu Shastra when we are also able to anticipate through whatever reversals there is some greater mercy that is being arranged here. And don't wait till the reversals come. We need to imbibe this mentality now. And personalities such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they will demonstrate to us how to imbibe this mentality of work. There are three factors that are necessary for success according to the Mahabharata. So Mahabharata explains endeavor and Krishna's grace. Without these three things, nothing gets done. Nothing works. So we should always remember that. Don't think, pure devotees, they don't have to endeavor. No, you've seen the example here. He endeavors. Every one of our acharyas has made incredible endeavor. So Srila Prabhupada would even explain to his own disciples, yes, I am pushing you. Just my guru is pushing me, I am also pushing you. This is called parampara. So every single one of us, You should work hard according to your capacity to please fulfill the orders of Srila Prabhupada. According to your capacity. That capacity at different times will be different. That capacity will be different for different people. But it should be your capacity. And you will see a miracle will happen. Why? Because when you work hard according to your capacity, what does Krishna do? He then empowers you by increasing your own capacity. Isn't that very amazing? Your own capacity increases by your sincere endeavor. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sets the example. Don't ever think, oh, the acharyas, they had it easy. No, they go through more tests than us. No one in this room, no one in this room, no one in this movement is going to an advanced age be sent by themselves single-handedly from India to create an international movement. It's been done already. It can be done once, no one else can repeat that because it's been done. Srila Prabhupada has done it. So in comparison, in contrast to whatever we have to do, it is nowhere near what the acharyas do. Does that make sense? And the reversals that we experience is nothing compared to the reversals that they experience. You read in Prabhupada's diary, even coming from India to the West, two heart attacks. Not one, two heart attacks. And he's writing in his diary, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Think about it. I don't even know. I'm coming on the order of my guru purely. This is not mixed devotional service. Right? It's not like, you know, I like to travel on ships. It'd be interesting to have a bit of a journey. I want to see what America's like. I heard it's quite interesting there. Right? You know, maybe I can get a good job, earn some more money. It's not that kind of mission. Purely on the order of his spiritual master, he doesn't even know if he's going to make it. Two heart attacks. Remember always that the pure devotees, they go through the human experience. They're not normal people. But they go through the human experience so that they can also relate to the conditioned souls. Right? So just in case you think, yeah, Prabhupada went through heart attacks, but he's not on the bodily platform, he was very comfortable, it was easy. No. No, it's not like that. He'll go through reversals so that he can also understand something of what the conditioned living entities are experiencing so he can be more empathetic and understanding and compassionate. So both internally and externally, it is an extremely glorious example. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj saying that if you want to develop the determination to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, to deal with all the reversals that will be entailed, that will come in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, you just look at the example of the acharyas. Especially the example of our present day acharya Srila Prabhupada. One reversal after another, one reversal after another, and he just continues to keep going. So whatever we're experiencing, this is nothing. We have to see things in the proper context. And on these days we can understand this. On these days when we look at the example of the pure devotees, it reminds us, I'm not doing that much. Right? Oh, Krishna consciousness is so difficult. Are you sleeping 2.5 hours a day? Is that difficult? No. Right? Any heart attacks? Anyone? No. Right? Anyone having to deal with an international society with thousands of disciples? No. It's not that kind of difficulty. You know, our difficulties, I don't know if I should have the burfi for breakfast or if I should have the sandesh. It's difficult, you know. Maybe I should call Guru Maharaj. Get some devotional guidance on this very deep, intimate topic. It's not that kind of difficulty. The acharyas have set up the entire mansion. We are simply doing something with the furnishings, arranging the furnishings nicely. So every day we should be in gratitude. It is by your gratitude that your heart becomes open and receptive to the mercy. And it is by your gratitude that you become humble. By the example of great devotees, we become humble. Because you can live with these great devotees just by reflecting on their example. So then we understand their standard of Krishna consciousness, their example of Krishna consciousness. And when we see that, then we see in comparison that our example is not very great. You know? Does that make some sense? And then we feel humble. And then we feel compassionate because we understand that everything I have, I don't deserve it. Right? You can go to Mayapur now. Mayapur is a spiritual city. It is beautiful, luxurious, so much arrangement is there. But who found Lord Chaitanya's actual birthplace? And when it was found, do you think Mayapur looked like that to Bhaktivinoda Thakur? No, not at all. Painstaking work and effort goes into all of these things. Someone is making huge sacrifices on our behalf so that we can practice Krishna consciousness. That's the real point. Someone is making huge sacrifices because nothing, please remember this, if you remember nothing else, nothing in Krishna consciousness comes without sacrifice. There is no freebie, there's no free rights. If you're not making the sacrifice, it means that some other Vaishnavas are making the sacrifice on your behalf, which is why you're able to do what you're doing in Krishna consciousness. This is the real point. Just in case we ever forget, I'm doing so well. No. It is. I remember discussing this with one devotee. He made a very wonderful point. He said that the movement is being maintained by some pure devotees who are chanting the pure name. Right? It is by the sacrifice and the purity of all the pure devotees that everything is being maintained. Huh? When you perform your Krishna consciousness properly, even the materialistic atheists, they all benefit. Because it is by the performance of duties that everything flourishes. And what is the highest duty? The highest duty is loving, pure, unalloyed. Right? Pure unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As is exemplified by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is by their pure unalloyed devotional service that everything is happening. By the pure unalloyed devotional service of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, the six Goswamis, all of these people, we owe our lives to such individuals. And the greatest fortune that the present day Vaishnavas have is that we know about them, we get to hear about them, and we get to do something for them. Huh? Don't try to please Krishna, try to please Krishna's most intimate associates. He will be more pleased when we try to do something in order to please his most intimate associates. Huh? And they are with us every day. I remember one devotee who used to live in this temple, so she brought her family to the temple, and when they came in this temple room, the family were looking at the murti of Prabhupada, and she was explaining Srila Prabhupada, and they didn't understand that he'd passed away, because one of them saw his fingers moving, right? And so they didn't understand when she told him later that he'd passed away. He said, "What do you mean? We saw he was moving." They actually thought he was sitting there while she was talking about them. In the sense that they thought he was physically sitting there, which he is, in that sense. Mm-hmm. So everything of our culture is actually glorious and unlimitedly spiritual, but we simply have to have the eyes to see it. Mm-hmm. And that requires adhikar. So what is our adhikar? Our adhikar is given to us when we please the pure devotees. Mm-hmm. It's not even our adhikar technically. It is something, it's a gift bestowed upon us when we please the pure devotees. It's never ours. And if we consider it's ours, it's unfortunate because then we stop begging. Right? You beg as long as you feel that you have nothing. You understand? The moment you start to think that you have something, how will you beg? Right? How can a millionaire beg? They feel they have so much. How can they beg? How can they really beg? From the heart, a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of destitution, a feeling of need. Dear Lord, I have nothing. I am simply your lowly servant. Please help me. I don't even have the strength to beg properly. Please help me. That is the paradox of Krishna consciousness. When you feel you have nothing, guess what? You will have everything. So don't be fooled by Maya. Our movement and our desire is to become increasingly humble. And that increasing humility will fill you with great joy, because then you will actually be able to respect and love and appreciate others without being blocked by so much false ego, so much insecurity that you're always needy and you're always dependent upon people saying how wonderful you are. It is an illness. That mood is an illness. I want everyone to recognize me. I want everyone to say how wonderful I am. Everyone should look at what I'm doing. It's an illness, because the heart wants to love and respect and appreciate others. We want this. It's this third verse. Shikshashtakam. Trinada pisunicha notarara pisihishnana. Amanina manina kirtaniya sadahari. Because by that mood, one can kirtaniya sadahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So if you actually look into your mentality, your heart, the hardness that you feel, the unwillingness to give and offer respect to others, that is the false ego. And it's that hardness that stops us being able to love and appreciate the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, your heart would overflow with gratitude and you would live each day very, very blissfully. Very blissfully. Don't think that your pride is good. Your pride is unfortunate. Our pride is unfortunate. But it can be removed by such mercy. Anyway, it is 9 o'clock. At the end of this time, some considerations on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Some considerations on his example. Some considerations on the great merciful opportunity that we have in this lifetime to be Krishna conscious and to please them. It is all about pleasing those who are already close and intimate associates with the Lord. And they will introduce you, even to the point that when you go back to Godhead, you're going to be introduced back into that community. Can you believe it? You'll be introduced into that community by those associates who are ultimately associates of Srila Prabhupada. They will introduce you back into that community. And it will be the most wonderful and blissful, unimaginable experience that you can ever have. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what we have to look forward to. Now let us go deeper in our Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay. That questions? Okay. Any questions or comments?